This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Jubilation is spreading across the UK today as Queen Elizabeth celebrates 70 years on the throne. And we're giving you a front row seat to all the festivities. Live from just outside Buckingham Palace here in London, this is a special edition of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. A very good morning to you all. We're moments away from the kickoff to 4 days of celebrations called the Platinum Jubilee, which marks an historic milestone for the nation's longest ever reigning monarch. It all starts with Trooping the Colour. It's a military parade complete with a flyover from what else but 70 Royal Air Force aircraft. We'll get away from the Queen and her family from that very famous balcony that we've got eyes on right now. Events will be taking place for the next 4 days. A concert, a horse derby, street parties up and down this country, and of course a four-day weekend to make room for all of the celebrations. In fact, hospitality is expected to see a $2.5 billion boost over the next 4 days. That's according to a British industry group. But could that be offset by a drop in productivity because of that bank holiday? I put that question to Andrew Goodwin. He's Oxford Economics chief UK economist.
We've looked back at previous Jubilee celebrations, and the experience is that you do tend to get higher spending on things like sort of hotels and restaurants, that sort of thing, and also on the arts, so people enjoying themselves over the weekend. But that doesn't offset the drag you get from losing a working day. We only have about 65 working days in any quarter anyway, so if you lose one of them, it's quite a big loss in terms of output. So we do expect the economy to suffer a modest hit from the extra bank holiday.
So could any of this lead to maybe a rebound in the subsequent month and quarter?
We're optimistic that Q3 will be better simply because it has the sort of the full quota of working days. And so certainly I think that those people who sort of look at a recession as two successive quarters of GDP falling, that's unlikely to happen this time around simply because of that rebound. But you know, I think it is fair to say that the economy is relatively weak at the moment, particularly given the big squeeze we have on consumers. And even if we do see a rebound in Q3, it's unlikely to be particularly strong.
And I was just going to say, first quarter growth came in at just under 1%. But there are, of course, much larger things at play with the economy and the nation's trajectory here than just a bank holiday.
There certainly are. I mean, certainly in Q1, I think we had a bit of a boost at the start of the quarter from fears about Omicron fading. Obviously, people have been wary in Q4 of last year about going out to restaurants and the like because of Omicron. That sort of faded really at the start of Q1, but you really saw as the quarter went on, the momentum started to wear. But I think, you know, particularly as we move into Q2 and people have to suffer what's happened in terms of the tax rises and the increase in the energy price cap, then yeah, the economy is really going to struggle to eke out much growth as we move through 2022.
Well, hopefully at least a little extra spending will go a little way toward providing a bit of a boost. Andy, thank you so much for your time.
No problem at all. It's good to speak to you.
Well, checking a few other Jubilee numbers now. 350 million, that's how many dollars people are expected to spend on souvenirs and memorabilia. Five times is how much larger the economy is now than when the Queen took the throne in 1952, and 11.2% is the rate of inflation that year, which was due to soaring commodity prices affected by the Korean War. Well, we've been talking about how people are celebrating this Jubilee weekend, more importantly, how they're spending their cash during it. For those wanting to throw a celebration fit for a queen, you might look for a literal royal stamp of approval that you can find on a very select number of products. I'll admit it was a tough job, but I ventured out to one of Britain's very first chocolate shops to find out all about these royal warrants.
Victoria, lovely to see you.
Hello.
Step inside Charbonnel A. Walker and you'll find row upon row of carefully made, perfectly decorated chocolates, all deliciously scented and neatly stacked in their gleaming glass display case.
The chocolate crown was actually the first chocolate that Madame Charbonnel and Mrs. Walker made. But you'll also notice firm favourites, rose and violet creams, made with a very special, unique fondant recipe with crystallised rose and violet petals on each one.
Spokeswoman Joe Humphreys explains the company has been making chocolate this way since 1875. And for the past 50 years, it's been supplying its cocoa confections to Queen Elizabeth herself. And that has earned Charbonnelet Walker the ability to display a royal warrant, a coat of arms, on all of its products.
We feel incredibly proud, actually. It's a wonderful mark of recognition for the quality of the products that we make, that they enjoy our chocolate products.
Charbonnelet Walker is one of only 800 companies with a royal warrant. Mark Leishman, executive director and secretary of the Royal Warrant Holders Association, explains what it takes to get one.
You apply. You have to have been trading with one of the senior households for at least 5 years out of the previous seven. If you are accepted, then what you will then undergo is a financial audit, followed by a fairly intensive environmental audit.
The whole process can take about a year, and Leishman says there's an important distinction to be made about what the warrant actually signifies.
These are not necessarily the best. Sometimes people will say to me, oh, so this is about the best of British. It's actually merely the fact that they happen to be suppliers to the royal households. But alongside that, of course, is the fact that companies will be judged on their standards. And of course, what that translates into is people saying, well, if it's good enough for that person, then it's probably good enough for me, and I quite like buying into some of this.
And importantly, the products and services don't have to be British to qualify. Champagne Lanson is one of eight French champagne houses to hold a British royal warrant.
We were granted the royal warrant on the 4th of December 1900, and we have held it consistently since then.
That's the company's managing director, Robert Rand, who explained that despite what some might think, this relationship is still a transactional one for both sides.
Yes, they have to purchase from us. There is a committee of the good and great in the British wine industry, which get together and see what's coming up in terms of events. And then we submit samples to them, and they then pick which they think are the best wines for that particular venue and function.
Those can be the Queen's garden parties or dinners with dignitaries from around the world. And Rand says just being associated with events like that is good for business.
You know, some of these garden parties, they have 5,000 people going to them. So it's great for them to be trying your champagnes there. The UK is the largest export market for Champagne Lanson. And absolutely, the royal warrant is key to that. So it's entrenched in our brand DNA.
A sentiment similarly shared back on Bond Street by Charbonnelet Walker. The company's adorned its bay window with Union Jack bunting, a portrait of the Queen, and it's even rolled out a special Platinum Jubilee line of chocolate boxes. Joe Humphreys says the excitement is now palpable.
I think everyone really appreciates the momentous occasion of 70 years of reign and the amount of celebrations and wonderful things happening across the UK. Customers do love that form of recognition, whether it's our British customers and even those from abroad. It creates a very special gift for them to take back to friends and family, and a mark of something very British that is appreciated.
So a box of British special edition chocolates or French rosé champagne. I guess the message is simple then. You can celebrate this historic Platinum Jubilee the royal way. And here there are plenty of people gathered outside the palace just waiting for the parade to start. Here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.